Praise the Lord. Message number 165. The title of the message, Watchman, Part 6. We will continue to speak in this message from the book Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a watchman who was so careful, and one of the key and main person who implemented the vision of rebuilding the wall around the city of Jerusalem to keep the system, to protect the city from people coming in and harm from thieves. And also he put the gates, the rules and the regulation, how to keep the things in the way that God would be glorified in the life of His church and His people. We started to speak in the previous part 5, about the last and final reforms of Nehemiah. We will continue in this message to tackle the rest of what is written in the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your living word that you always send, that satisfy our needs, the need of your church, and give us discernment and equip us to the task to be a good steward of the things that you entrust to us from ministries and people life, that you call us to be watchmen, to care for them and to protect them, O God. I do pray in the name of Jesus, the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished, and take it with the power of the Holy Spirit and bring it to your people who are waiting to hear your word and your voice. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read now Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 4 to verse 9. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine and oil prescribed for the Levite singers and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priest. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased, and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave order to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. Now here, after Nehemiah, he put certain people and give them certain ministry and assignment. He need to go back to Babylonia where he worked, because he left them to do the mission and the vision to rebuild the wall. But after he finished and he put people, he assigned them, he appointed them, then he went back to do his work. And then he take permission to go back. He need to go back to check, and that's what we need to do. We need to go back and check. We need to watch that certain workers or leaders will not use their authority to abuse and use the resources of the church to support people who have destructive effect on the ministry. We need to be very careful how to appoint people, but even after we appoint, we need to check and recheck. We need to trust the people, but we should not trust devil. Devil may tempt anyone, confuse anyone, or mislead anyone to do wrong. So we trust the people when we give them ministry, but we need to recheck so that things will not go wrong. Either they are unaware or even they are already attempted. So we need to check so that when things go wrong, as had happened here, that he assigned a priest, but the priest give Tobiah a place and a room to live inside the temple. But Tobiah, we know that he was against them and tried to hinder them, according to the book of Nehemiah. He's one of those who opposed the vision and the rebuilding, who is the main person who ignited a war against the people of God. Now you have a place there and you're getting the privileges. That cannot be. They give him room that is used to save the and store the first fruit, the tithe and articles. Instead, they are using the room for the glory of God. They use it to some people who are harmful effect on the church and ministry. So the rule of us, even when we give message to someone, we need to check after what is going on. Be watchful and take a correct measure also to deal with evil things that's going on and those who are enemies of God, who are corrupting and manipulating and try to live in an opportunistic way which would promote wickedness and the work of devil among us. When you discover certain things, when you discover that somebody will give him a trust and he start to abuse, we need to interfere, we need to correct. What do you say? You say, I drive him out. He was unhappy, I was greatly displeased, and throw all to be his household goods out of the room. I gave order to purify the rooms. When you know there's something going on wrong, we need to interfere. We need to take a right action, a brave and bold decision. We need to take for correction so that things will go back to right and normal. We must understand also that when we give trust to somebody and he abuses, whether he know or no, that is not abnormal. That is also acceptable, because as a church, there are still area of us is in the flesh, and devil may take advantages of footholds. He may deceive, he may tempt some of us. But we need to take a decision, a correct decision, as Nehemiah did. He took that person out, took his things away, so that no abuse and no corruption. And he ordered to purify the rooms, to cleanse. He put back order, explained. We need to explain to the people that sounds acceptable. That is not what we, that's not the vision, that's not my instruction. This person have done his own way. It's not correct. So we are correcting what he did, and we are informing you that this is the acceptable things, and we want you to abide with that. These things had been used wrongly, now we are going to use it in the right way, so that things will go on. That is the work of the watchman. That we need to be watchful, prayerful, discerning what is going on, so that when there is something wrong, we can catch and we can make a correction. So people of God, the church will not be affected. Let's continue. Let's read now verse 10 to verse 14. All Judah, sorry, verse 10. I also learned that the portion assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and singers responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. All Judah brought the tithe of grain, new wine, and oil into the storerooms. I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Bedaiah in charge of the storerooms, and made Hanan son of Zakur the son of Mataniah their assistant, because these men were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their brothers. Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and his services. Now what's going on here? That the tithe and offering had not been collected, the first fruit had not been collected. So what had happened? That the worker, the Levite, the singers, they went back to their own fields. They start to work so that they can gain their living. When the people, they will not bring the tithe and offering, the workers will not be able to continue the ministry, because they need to work for their living. What was the fault here? Who was at wrong? It is not the people. Let us read verse 11. So I rebuked the official and asked him, why is the house of God neglected? The leaders who does not preach and teach about tithing, they are not instructing the people to bring their tithe. They are ashamed to say about it. Then there will be no income for that congregation. When you don't preach about tithing and giving and first fruit, the people will not be encouraged to give. Some they will give spontaneously, but even those who does not give, we need to tell them, you need to bring your tithe, you need to bring your offering, so that the service of God will continue. Don't be ashamed. Let this message be a rebuke to you, that you need to ask the people, not be ashamed of them. Even they will say the pastor is asking the tithe so that he is living on the tithe. Let them say this, that is correct. You are set aside to teach the people. Their tithe and offering will support you, so that you don't need to go and leave them and work. They will be well fed by the word of God, as you had set free to help them and to care for them. Watch that the tithes and offerings are collected carefully from all the church members, and for the wise, and also watch for the wise and fruitful use of the church income. The church income should not be used for activities or for food or for ledgers, but should be used to support the workers who do the genuine work of God, to give the word of God, to preach and to teach. And also important to keep a trustworthy people, as Nehemiah did. He put people who are trustworthy for the distribution. Keep a clean record of the church income and a proper labels for all the tithe givers and the amount given, as well as the rest of the offerings and the proper record of all the expenses with full details. That is needed. Trustworthy people should be the one responsible in charge to keep the records and also to dispense carefully according to the will of God and according to the instruction that they receive from us. Remember me for this, O my God. This is a good work. Churches who does not teach about tithing or the Passover does not teach, they are not doing the good work. They are against God. The ministry will be affected if they will not teach. The word of God will not be pushed forward. The message will not go on. And even the members of the church who does not tithe, they will not be blessed by the Lord because they are robbers. And God will not bless the robbers. Even whatever the pastor, hard work. If he will not discipline the people about tithing, he is a failure. 1 time, 2 times, 10 times, 15 times, 20 times. I will continue to tell those people who does not bring their tithe, please bring your tithe and offering. Be a watchman. Be a guard. Even be a bodyguard. Sometimes you need to be rude or why not? This is God's right. This is God's money. And you have to act wisely. Responsible, bold. In your action. Let's continue. Let's read now verse 15 to verse 22. In those days I saw men in Judah trading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. Men from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuke the nobles of Judah and say to them, what is this wicked thing you are doing? Desecrating the Sabbath day, didn't your forefather do the same things? So that our God brought all this calamity upon us and upon this city. Now we are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath. When evening shadow fell on the gates of Jerusalem, before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not open until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, O my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. About the Sabbath. Watch that the rule of the Sabbath is observed by all. The workers, all the members, they should observe the rule of Sabbath. They should come every week to the worship. They should come on time. They should attend the church services on a weekly basis and get involved in various prayer meetings and Bible study. Those who say we don't have time, not that they don't have time, they are busy with other wrong things that we have read here. Part-time, merchandise, friends, parties, TVs, Facebooks, unnecessary activities, and the projects that are taking their time and money and effort. Everyone should observe one day rest in a week, rest for the physical body and refreshment for the weary soul. Every family should observe one day rest. We should observe that weekly, coming to church weekly, one day rest weekly, rest for the whole family one day per week, so that God will heal our bodies and sicknesses and give us refreshment. Also, we need to observe who is coming to church with the wrong purpose. See here, there are many people, they are coming to the city wall to enter the city on the Sabbath because they want to sell and buy. Those who are coming to the church for the wrong purpose, looking for a gear, taking some benefit, finding a job. That is not the purpose of coming to the church. What do you say here? You say, I commanded the Levites to purify themselves, because they were also getting involved in these things. And go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Workers, leaders, pastors, you need to attend regularly the church services and the Bible study and prayer meeting. Plus, watchful that all your families are involved. Also, watchful that no wrong people will come in. They use the church as a base for making business or making money. Because wrong people or wrong motive, it will bring troubles not only to those who come in, but those who are inside, those even to the Levites, even to us. We need to be very careful about observing that. Every member should come regularly. Those who are not coming, you should ask about, you should visit them, go to them. Why you are not coming? What's the problem? Those who are involved in a part-time activities, friends, parties, you need to admonish them, correct them. Let's continue. The sweet verse 23 to verse 29. Moreover, in those days, I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you two are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women? One of the sons of Joadiah, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sennacherib the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. Remember me, O my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Now, another here another field that we need to be watchful and to be watchmen. We need to watch and deal appropriately with the non-ordained, with marriages that are not ordained by God. Now here in the book of Nehemiah, in the book of Ezra, is a very clear teaching about marriages that not ordained by the Lord, marrying with non-believers. And we know that here Nehemiah was very angry, even Ezra was very upset about it, and he was sad. And we can read that, you can read that in the book of Ezra and chapter 9 and 10, Ezra and Nehemiah is almost a book that deals with the one issue, rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall. And one of the issues that treasure in the birth book is about dealing with certain intermarriages with the non-believers. In the book of Ezra 9 and 10, we find out that those who had married something, that the woman and the children, they were sent away. Here, in this message, we are not dealing with this issue. We will not speak in details. Every case, it has to be dealt appropriately, according to its own merit. But what we can say, there are marriages ordained by God, as well as there are marriages not ordained by the Lord. The Lord said, but God put together that let no man separate, let no man put asunder. But there are certain marriages that you have to be handled. Somebody who is divorced and remarry, and his wife is still alive, his spouse is still alive, or her husband is still alive. Such cases need to be dealt with. Somebody who have family and cheated a person and marry a girl or a boy, he's already married, need to be dealt with. They should not remarry. Those who are single father or single mother, and the father or the mother of the children is still alive, they cannot go for other person for marriage. Certain time. We don't approve divorce, but certain times it is impossible for a person to live with that particular spouse. Or certain spouse need to be expelled from a house. What we teach, if a person is, suppose a man living with another woman and he left his wife, and he's still living with the other one in adultery, he cannot go back to his wife unless he expel that adulterous woman from his life. If he is not willing, his wife should not receive him. What we advise in such cases, no divorce, but expel that man from your house, or be away from him until he repent. Certain marriages need to be dealt with. Such kind of marriages, why in the book of Ezra they send them away? Because if they will keep them inside, they are a bad example, a bad testimony for the people of God, and will encourage others to do the wrong thing the same. Certain marital situation does not glorify God and bring disgrace to Him, and set bad example to others. So that need to be sorted out in a manner that glorify God and bring order and discipline inside the church. I will not speak more details, but if you have any case or you have doubt, you can approach me directly and we can explain to you through the scripture how we deal with such issues. We don't approve divorce, we are against it. We don't recognize or approve remarriage and the first spouse or first partner is still alive. I pray that the message will be very clear and will help you to be a watchman and woman. As you hear the message, if you face such a situation in your congregation, please approach me, approach us, so that we can handle it properly. In verse 28, that we hear that one of the son of Joel, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat. The high priest, he approved this. His son is married an unbeliever. What he did to Nehemiah to him, he drove him away from the office of the priesthood. Because he defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. If the pastor approved, if the leader approved these things, that will corrupt the whole church. And that's why there are certain marriages that now such person have to be expelled. Outside. Because others will not do the same. Let's continue. Verse 30 and 31. So I purified the priests and the Levites of every foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own work. I also made provision for contribution of food at the designated time and the first and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, O my God. So he cleaned the priesthood. Those who are taking advantage and those who are being pressed, tempted to help some wicked people, no more. Those about the rule of the Sabbath, about collecting tithe and offering, everyone was aware. And about marriage, everyone was aware. He gave them also contribution to support their life so that they can focus on doing the ministry faithfully without compromising. So I purify the priests and the Levites of everything foreign. Everyone should be clean, responsible leaders, pastors, they should be example, discipline, high commitment without compromising. So God will be glorified because every leader is a gate for the church, for the sheep to come in. If he corrupt, if you are corrupt, thieves come in, goats, wolves, dogs, and we destroy the flocks. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and we praise you. Lord, remember me with favor, O my God, for all my work and my service unto you. And I pray the message will impart the wisdom to every leader, to every pastor, to every workers, to work faithfully with you, together, forward, reaching the lost and making a new disciple for your name to be glorified. O God, take the message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach everyone in the church congregation so that your name would be glorified. O Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.